Welcome to the Playmaker Podcast, a podcast for people who want to sell different. Playmakers wage war against traditional sales and win. Remember, success is just one play away.
We're going to be talking about never miss your number again, 10 secrets for responding to inbound leads. I am Gabe Larson. I'm our Vice President of Growth here at InsideSales.com. A couple housekeeping items, as I said. If you need a jump, know that this will be on demand. If you haven't already checked it out, do go Google the Playmaker Podcast. Would love to have you join, recommend guests, listen in. We do it twice a week. It's a great show. For those of you who are just joining, I want to know who we have here. Put your name and where you're from. Just so I can kind of get the audience as we jump in. While you do that in the Q&A box, I'm going to rock and roll. Let's start with this concept here. Does anybody know Cliff Condon? He's the Chief Product and Research Officer at Forrester, and he is a stud. The guy knows his stuff. And he actually was out with us 2 weeks ago out here in Salt Lake City, and he gave a presentation and he talked about this concept of B2B customers acting like consumers. And I thought it was such a great way to set up this conversation about lead response that I wanted to start and kind of paint a picture of the market that we're in. Now, looks like we got, Mark, Justin, Lonnie, Ken, Kelly, Amber. Perfect. Guys, use that Q&A box. Let's make this as interactive as we can in this short time that we have together. So one of the things that Cliff really pushed out, you guys, was these two concepts. Number one, he said 71% of B2B buyers say purchasing from a website is more convenient. And then he said 61% of B2B buyers use smartphones to research purchases for work. I think most of us know this, but my takeaway was inbound ain't going anywhere. If you think it is, if you're an account-based model, you think you're only going outbound and your website isn't important and your offers aren't important, get off the line because you don't belong. No, I'm teasing. But guys, it's not going anywhere. We need to talk about how to take it to the next level, not ignore it. Now, when I say inbound, what I mean is you or your sales reps reaching out to someone who knows your company. That's inbound marketing generated activity. That's going to be leads. That's going to be ebooks. That's going to be webinars like this, assuming they don't have technical problems. Outbound, on the flip side, is when you're going targeted. You're going cold out to somebody who doesn't know you. So we're going to be focusing on inbound. Now, why is inbound so important? This stat was actually a HubSpot stat from a couple of years back. We've replicated it almost with the exact same number. Guys, inbound is the gravy train. It's closing way more. Why? Because they come with interest and need, whereas when you go outbound, you got to create interest and need. So we've got to treat these leads right. The question is, how are we treating them? Now, something we did for you guys, not everybody, is we actually, for a lot of people who registered, it was a decent random sample. We took 200 companies register, and we went out and we did what we call a response audit to those people on the website. We went onto your website and we submitted a form, and we said, hey, let's figure out how fast this group is actually responding and then what they're doing in their follow-up strategy. What do you think? How fast do the people on this webinar respond to inbound leads based on the audit that we did of them? Go ahead and throw it in the Q&A. What do you think? 10 hours, 5 hours, 5 minutes, 10 days. Looks like Kelsey. Kelsey says 30 minutes. We got John says 4 hours. Tim says 5 days. Peter says 2 days. Let's see what the results say. 30 minutes, 1 hour, 45, Robert says 2. This is what we got you guys. Again, an anonymous audit. You didn't know about it. We went to your team. Don't shoot me. I'm just a messenger. And this is what we saw. Of the 200 companies that we sampled, now there's more of you on here than 200, so know that this is a sample. The average response time was 594 minutes. That translates to about 10 hours. Now, we're going to talk about 5 minutes being best practice. That actually isn't that bad, you guys, depending on which glass you look at it. The industry average is actually sitting at 38 hours. So 10 hours isn't great. It's not terrible. Let's take one more step. How many attempts, what do you think the average attempt was looking at those same 200 companies? So they responded. How many times did they respond? Did they send two emails and one phone call for a total of three? Did they do 12 responses? What was the average number of touches per company? What do you think? The truth of most people. While you're doing that, let's see. The truth is most people who convert on most websites either lie about their info or do not respond, no matter how fast you call them. That's Lonnie. Robert says two. Chris has a good question here. Thoughts on automated follow-up and then personal, how quickly, the cadence, et cetera. Chris, we're going to get into that in just a minute. Mark says they go for 12 touches over 15 days. Tammy says 1.2 responses. Greg says five. John says average was likely four. We were ridden by management until contact. Good. Well, let's see what the survey says. And again, don't shoot me. I'm just the messenger. This group, again, anonymous audit by InsideSales.com, 203 companies, 2.01 overall touches. Now, we're going to talk about best practice. Data says that should be in the 6 to 10 range. So depending on what glass you want to look at, you guys, there's potentially some work to be done. I want to get into when and why you should be responding because it's getting more confusing. It's getting more, when should you, when shouldn't you? So let's get into it. Hit me with some questions. I'm getting some coming in here. Jan says, are these Forrester stats? So Jan, a couple slides back, they were Forrester stats. What you're seeing right here is real data from this audience. Let's see. Peter says, will you make these slides available for download? Yes, absolutely, Peter. You should reach out over 12 touches over 15 days. Yeah, Matthew then says, hey, go for 12 over 15 days. The question is, Matthew, what does best practice say is going to be optimal for following up with people post, post lead response? So let's get into it. Here are my 10 things, you guys, that I try to live by as rules as we think about lead responses. So let's get in to number one here. So number one, don't break the law of immediacy. Now, what is the law of immediacy? And Tammy, we're going to get to your question in just one second about optimal number of touches here. There is something called the 5-minute rule. And I'm saving you guys a lot of time here. You can thank me later. Go out and Google. You're going to find about 5 research studies on lead response. More people are doing them. Drift's doing them. Conversica's doing them. We're doing them. You've got some other B2C companies doing them. But most of the studies revolve around these 3 numbers. 24 hours qualitatively is something that all consumers, whether you're B2B or B2C, it's like, guys, you cannot do over 24 hours. It makes people mad. 1 hour is where a lot of studies say you want to consider average. That would be a good place to try to get to. Best practice based on data says that 5-minute mark is where the money is going to be. Now, what do I mean by money? Let me give you 2 quick stats here. Look at this between on the left-hand side there. You can see between 5 and 10 minutes, you see a 10x decrease in contacts made. That's almost a 900% decrease between 5 and 10 minutes. If you jump to 30 minutes, it goes to 100x decrease in contact rates, your ability to have a conversation or interact with that person. Now, some people know InsideSales.com for our study we did
with the Harvard Business Review. It was published originally in 2007. It's been redone a couple times, 2011, 2013, et cetera. The reason Harvard was so interested in this, you guys, that bottom stat there, qualification rate, 21 times decrease from 5 to 30 minutes. What that's saying is response time absolutely influences your ability to qualify somebody, which is something that most marketers and data scientists were not aware of until this study came out. So remember the 5-minute rule. Now, the thing you've got to bring up right after the 5-minute rule is piece number two. Now, Adam's got a good question. Maybe this is a good time to take it. He said, however, some of us are field reps. So when leads arrive in our box, we usually can't get back to the customer until the evening at the earliest or during. Any insight to this challenge? Adam, you actually brought up secret number six. So hold on to that for just a minute. And I'm going to talk to you about what companies are doing to get around that. But I think you're hitting something there. Let's hit secret number two quickly, because it follows so well on secret number one. It's balancing speed and score. Let me give you a quick case study. I'm in Texas. I'm working with this company. They literally get 45,000 inbound leads a month. Those are form fills a month. It's ebook, it's white paper, it's free trial, a variety of marketing material. Now, they only have 13 sales development reps. The question for you is, well, the question they had for me was, Gabe, how the heck do we manage that 5-minute rule? It's physically not possible. And this is where the exceptions come in, you guys. And there is exceptions. There will be. So let's talk about them. This is one of them. So I said, guys, you've got to balance speed and score. Let's look at a capacity model and let's look what leads are your best. Not all leads may deserve to be responded to immediately. So with them, we went through and we picked off their very best leads, which happened to be free trials as an example. And all free trials we responded to as quickly as possible. And the rest of them, they went on a structured nurturing track. So know that speed matters, but best leads deserve better speed. Worse leads deserve potentially worse speed, right? Okay, that's secret number two. Let's see. Can you explain, Gabe, what you meant by qualification rate? Alex, this is a good question. When we talk about qualification rate, what I'm basically referring to is when a lead comes in and your ability to move it to an opportunity through which you've basically got what we call anum, the authority, the urgency, the need, and the money. You've basically been able to get some qualification about them, and you've moved them from a lead to an opportunity. That's what that 21X Alex was referring to on just a couple slides ago. Good. Let's keep going. Secret number three. I don't know if they're secrets really, you guys, but they're tips, right? You get the idea. I didn't build the slides. I just talk about them. Secret number three. This is the flip side. Don't starve your sales team. I'm in New York. This literally is just a couple months back, and I'm talking to this team, and they just got a couple sales development reps, three of them. They're getting about 10 leads per month total. Now, it's a smaller company. They're focusing on a bigger market, closing bigger deals. Their sales team is like, our pipeline's dry. I mean, we are fighting to stay alive here. And what happens is the marketing team says, hey, you know, we need to nurture these leads. We can't just give them to you. They're not ready. They're white paper leads. They don't have need. They haven't been educated enough, and the sales team's dying. And I just sat in between them and said, guys, you got to be kidding me. If the sales team's starving, give them anything you can, and I promise you they will take something that doesn't have interest and need, and they will do what sales reps do best, which is often do that. So my takeaway on that is sometimes you're going to have too many leads. Sometimes you're going to have too little leads. But if your sales team's dying, give them whatever you can. Don't worry about nurturing it. My goodness. All right, secret number four. So many good questions coming in. Mark says, hey, what methodology were you referring to when you were qualifying a lead? Guys, a lot of stuff out there on this. You know, InsideSales.com invented the model called Anim, Authority, Need, Urgency, and Money. It was kind of a study we did almost 5 years ago, Mark, that basically just proved that the BANT model, B-A-N-T, budget, authority, need, and timing, was just outdated because people don't really define budgets. If you can get the right person and you can build the need, usually the urgency and the money follow. So most of the market, Mark, from a qualification standpoint, especially for sales development reps, they all have different acronyms. I don't care. But authority and need, pain, those are the two things most people are going after, and we focus on that. Get the right person. Make sure they have the need, and I promise the urgency and the money will follow.
Good question. Okay.
Secret number four. Let's keep tracking here. Be pleasantly persistent. Now, this was, I think, I can't remember. Was it Tammy? Tammy, you said 6 to 10 responses, Gabe, over what period of time? So let's go into that, because this is – we just did a big study on this. You know – I think this has sometimes been subjective, Tammy, but I think we finally got into a place where I feel pretty comfortable telling you what a good benchmark is for optimal results. And again, based on your industry, you might want to swing it a little bit, but go with me for just a minute here. Now, when it came to total attempts, you guys, I say you as in general, were sitting at about 2 attempts. Now, we did a big research study. You can find it at insidesales.com/resources, that's in our resource library, where we looked at 14,000 companies' cadences, almost 15,000. And we all it was inbound. We just wanted to figure out what the heck's going on with inbound cadence, guys. And when I say cadence, I mean a sequence of activities to increase contact and qualification, right? That's my definition. So we looked at all these cadences to figure out what people are doing and what is optimal. And here were the results, Tammy. The typical inbound, big difference between inbound cadence and outbound. Typical inbound cadence was sitting at 4.05 attempts, mostly dominated by phone and email. Now, the interesting thing, Tammy, is when we asked people what their average attempt was, that number was more in the 15. So a real interesting on inbound leads. People say, oh, I believe I do 15, but when we crunch the numbers – I don't know. I don't want to call them liars, but you get the idea. The question then, Tammy, if I keep talking to Tammy, maybe not even listening, but assuming you are, Tammy, this is your question. What does best practice look like? I'm showing you what we consider to be the 5 elements of a good sales cadence. Let me just review them with you real quick. This was one of the fundamental breakthroughs of the study. Go ask 10 people what sales cadence is. 5 of them are going to say, I have no idea what you're even talking about. The other 5 are going to say probably the number of attempts. Cadence isn't just about attempts. It's about attempts, media, duration, spacing, and content. Those are the 5 pillars of a good cadence. If I sat down with you right now, I would build for you, I would go through each of these and we'd build best practices in them. So this is a good framework for you to use. Number of attempts, that's total touches. Media, think about the different medias. Remember, there's typically 6, potentially 7 coming online for communication methods in a cadence: phone, voicemail, email, social, video, text message, direct mail, chat. Chat's coming on in an interesting way. So those are the different media types you can use. Duration, first touch to last touch, the time between. Spacing. Tammy is saying that she is listening. Thank you, Tammy. Spacing, probably the most missed, Tammy, is spacing, and that is your time between each touch. And then content is, it's not content post-conversation. Remember, definition of a cadence is what? A sequence of activities to increase contact and qualification. Once you have a conversation, you don't use a cadence. They're an opportunity. They're a pipeline conversation there. So those are the industry averages based on the study. 4.05 attempts, predominantly media was used. Duration was about 5 days. Spacing was 4.2 days. Content, 362 words per email, 23 seconds for voicemails. Now, what we then believe is best practice is 6 to 10. Interesting on the median, I don't have time, Tammy, you and I can talk offline, but right now all indication is saying on both inbound and outbound cadences, more media the better. Call, email, voicemail, more touch, more media better. Duration, interesting on this one, a little bit tighter. You want to keep it within the 10-day mark. I've seen some great ones. These guys came to you on inbound. You want to pack it often more. I've had people on my team do as many as three touches the first day, two touches the second day, two touches the third day. Well, that right there is 7 touches in 3 days, right? So I've seen some great cadences in, call it 5 business days, 7 total days. So notice that the duration, a lot of people say, hey, we should do this over a month. No, that is not right. That is not what the data says. The data says instant gratification. They came to you. They forgot what they did yesterday. You got to hit them early enough. Spacing. Do not space activities more than 2 days on an inbound cadence. Like I said, up to 2 days is where you're going to see the meat. And then on content, always want to keep your voice messages under 30 seconds. Real debate, even in the numbers on emails right now, you guys not getting into it too much. You got short form and long form. A lot of companies seeing a lot of success with 50-word emails. Surprisingly, you may not have tried this, but long-form landing pages, long-form emails are doing fairly well, up in the hundreds of words. And so not a clear answer on that, to be honest.
So, Tammy, hopefully that answers your question. That's what I would consider from a numbers, and I'm just, again, the messenger. That's a place to start if you're thinking about strong inbound cadences. Let me know if you have a question on that. Okay. Let me hit a couple of these questions. John says, are web form qualification questions effective? Yeah, I mean, you're always going to debate, John, on web forms. How many
questions is too much? And every time you put a question on your web form, you'll see your conversion rate drop. So that's got to be a balance. The answer is usually you want to try to get something so that you can at least understand if this is somebody you should follow up on. So for InsideSales.com, for example, you know, one big thing for us is I want to know if you have a CRM that is either Salesforce or Microsoft Dynamics. That's what our cadence technology is built on. And so if you don't have that, truthfully, would I want to follow up with you? Probably not. So gotta find that balance there. Couple other questions. What's been your response when texting inbound leads? Is it invasive or have you had success? Mark, you're kind of going into inbound 2.0 here. I'm just looking, partnering with a company now. Couple interesting companies out there who are really dominating texting. I mentioned it as one of the key forms of communication. I don't know of almost any B2B company who is doing texting on inbound leads. I know a lot of B2C companies who are doing it. Most B2B companies are moving on to chat rather than texting. I don't have any, I wanted to actually do a study, Mark. I don't have any data on it. It appears that texting is coming very quickly into B2B, and I think you're a couple of years ahead of the game. You can't do texting on outbound. On inbound, when a person comes in, you can auto-check the box, you can have them put in their direct dial, and you can follow up with text. And from what I'm hearing from these two companies, they're experiencing amazing results, but in B2B, it's almost not heard of. And I think it's a huge, huge miss. That's not a great answer, Mark, but keep with me because I'm with you. I think there's something real cool there. John, best tool for capturing the metrics for reporting up. And then he says part of, okay. Look, most people can't even report on lead response time. So you got to just start at the basics. And John, I'm going to tell you right now at the end of this, I want you to go to, the offer we have. It's leadresponseaudit.com. Isn't that what it is, guys? Lead response. And I want you to run an audit. I'll run a couple for you if I have to see. Isn't that what it is? I think that's what it is. Leadresponseaudit.com. And I'll run an audit on your team to see where we end up on on actually doing it. That's going to be your fastest way, I think, just to get a number and get it quickly. That's www.responseaudit.com. www.responseaudit.com. Besides that, we just got to sit down and go into your Salesforce, your CRM, Microsoft or Dynamics. It's not that hard, but you got to get there. Testing, or you mean things like WhatsApp or Viber? I don't know what you mean by that, Adam. Sorry. Hit me one more time on what you mean by using WhatsApp or Viber. Okay, let's keep going here. Secret number five. Guys, thanks for the questions. I prefer to make this interactive, so keep it coming. If it's annoying, I apologize. It's just more fun to talk to you than talk to this screen. Number five, who asked this before? Adam, was this you? Are you still on it? Yeah, it's only questions. I can't find it. Anyway, somebody asked, hey, I'm a sales rep. I can't get to leads for, you know, a couple hours or maybe even that evening. What's your strategy or best practice on that? My strategy, if it was Adam, is to avoid sending leads to sales reps. I'm sorry. It is one of my Gabe Larson rules. Avoid it if you can, because exactly as Adam said, sales reps will never respond quickly to leads. I'm sorry. They just have too many other things going on. A demo has to take priority. A meeting has to take priority. And so it turns into 1 hour, 2 hours, or 3 hours. And so, look, and we're going to talk about account-based sales in just a minute. But if you really care about prioritized leads, optimal leads, you just can't send them to sales reps. I mean, I've tried everything. Give them alerts, send them emails, text them. It's just, you're never going to get in that 5 minute mark. I've seen companies get down to an hour sending it to sales reps, but you'll never get the optimal 5 minutes. So you got two options there. Option one is what a lot of companies are doing. Website to CRM, it routes it, it sends it to the sales rep. And then the sales rep does their best. And as I think, Adam. So as Adam, you said, man, but you just can't get to it. So here's your two options. I probably should have put an option two or an option three. Option two is you do have a sales development team, right? Somebody who is a designated prospector that really is designated to focus and follow up on those leads. Option three, which we're going to be talking about in about three slides, is the automated chat bots. And I've got some great recommendations on those. Conversica, Drift, Intercom. There's some great companies out there, Adam, that it says, again, you got to be careful with chat bots because let's not AI the crap out of everything, but let's put it where we need it. And if you can't respond quickly, a chat bot can, Adam. It can get it to you. It's a great, great option. So those are the two things. You either put it in a sales development team or you put it in the chatbot. Good. Oliver, oh, what was that link? A lot of people asking me, www.responseaudit.com. So how do you deal with leads that come from different parts of the content funnel? Top of funnel, middle of funnel, bottom of funnel, TOFA, MOFA, BOFA. Oliver, yeah, this is kind of what I was mentioning previous. You know, I'm a big believer in speed and score. So if you have 200,000 free trial leads and you consider that to be more of a bottom of funnel lead, then I would just respond the best you can to those leads and leave your top of funnel things, let them go on a nurture track because it's a balance of speed and score. Now, if you've only got 10 leads and two of them are TOFU and one's MOFU and a couple others are BOFU, it's like, hey, it's only 10 leads, man. Just let the sales team call them all. Now, there's going to be somewhere in between that most companies fall. And so I would say, look at your capacity model and make it a numbers game. If you've got great bottom of funnel leads and you can keep adding people to respond and you're making money on it, do it. Let the rest nurture, but find that balance of speed and score. ResponseAudit.com is again kind of where we were. Good. Okay, next on here. Let's hit this account base. I had a couple of you ask this and I almost brought it up. Should I respond to inbound leads in an account based model?
guys, this is real in a lot of companies. I just read a very reputable consultant. I got in a little argument on LinkedIn about it. You can go check it out on my LinkedIn, where this guy, and he's a fantastic consultant. I feel like he was misquoted a little bit, but he basically said, look, in an account-based model, you shouldn't be responding to leads. And I'm like, what? Like, you can't say that blanket statement. You just can't. Now, again, I'll say that there's some exceptions, but the rule is good leads should be responded to. The thing I go to on the account-based model, without making this a 30-minute conversation, is engagement equals response. Now, the picture, I think, sums this up. Look, if you're running an account-based model, what is an account-based model? Big deal sizes, slow sales cycle, think over 90 days, think a six-figure deal, think multiple decision makers, think going after GEs, VMwares, ADPs, big companies. That's an account-based model. So if you're doing that and you're not running a high-velocity model, what's a high-velocity model? It's where you're typically, you got Google spend. You got spend $50,000 on Google. You don't know who's coming through there. They go to Google. They search you. They go to the lead form, put in their name. Then you know who they are. On an account-based model, you know your target audience. You're going after ADP, and you're going after, you know, the senior vice president of sales and the senior vice president of marketing. You know their name. You know their email address. So a lead form, it doesn't necessarily become obsolete, but the game changes. And it changes to engagement. If I see that ADP is visiting my website, that's intent. If I see that they are downloading or interacting with the emails that I'm sending, that's behavior. That's engagement. And to me, when you see a couple of those different signs, I don't need them to fill out a lead form. I know their name. I know their email. That triggers a response or an action or an activity from your sales or sales development team. So at a very high level, you guys, I think we need to change the conversation on the account-based response thing to it's not about account-based and lead forms. It's about account-based and engagement, and great engagement should equal response.
Wow, I just went off on a little soapbox there. Good. Number seven, let's keep cracking here. Number seven, hit the chatbot conversation. Do you need or do you not need a chatbot? Yes, you should have a chatbot on your website. Now, Adam, you and I were just chatting. Well, I was chatting to a screen, thinking I was chatting to you, but there's some real cases like Adam was talking about where it becomes almost an absolute necessity. You're not going to put in a sales development team. You can't not have leads responded to. So what are you going to do? You got to put it, you know, either you don't respond and you get customers angry, or you put in a chatbot. It's coming, guys. Chatbots coming fastly. This is interesting. Gartner study. Interestingly, in 2011, by 2020, customers will manage 85% of their relationship with the enterprise without interacting with a human. Now, that was in 2011. Last year, Gartner doubled down on that. They actually said by 2020, the average person will have more conversations with bots than with their spouse. Now, does having a chatbot eliminate the need to use email or phone? Does the chatbot eliminate lead response time? The answer is no. What a chatbot does is, again, in an account-based versus a high-velocity, a chatbot plays a little bit better in a high-velocity than it does in an account-based model. But no, even the people who have a chatbot, I'm working with some of them right now, they still use the phone. They still follow up with me on the phone. I maybe didn't finish the conversation with the chatbot. They still send me email. Chat is one of the mediums, and as I said before, often more mediums the better. So don't think it's an either or here. That's the problem we often get into in sales. You know, LinkedIn pops up in social selling, and we all say, you know, the phone is dead and voicemail's dead and email's dead, all use social, and it's just not true. Interesting to know, we did a study on LinkedIn in-mail versus email to see the effectiveness of it. 4 years ago, we had a 4x better response rate on LinkedIn in-mail versus email. When we did it last year, it was a 2x better response rate. Well, why is that? Because anything that's new is going to perform better than something that's old. Prospecting is about being different. So
Don't become a social seller. Don't become a cold caller. Don't become an email marketer. Find the tools that work with your audience and remember to, you know,
balance and all things. Let's see. Let's hit a couple of questions here. Alec, how do you reach out to leads that come to you because you are a thought leader in your industry, finding the balance between sales and consultative? How do you reach out to leads that come to you?
Yeah, I don't know if I get leads specifically. I mean, people hit me up often, Alec, for a conversation. I always love to take a conversation. I don't consider that necessarily a lead, but I'm big on trying to turn those conversations into leads. So I don't believe in ever being salesy. You know, a lot of people actually get confused that InsideSales.com isn't a technology company. They think we're a best practice company because I do a research study once a month and I got 20,000 people listen to a podcast and we've got 1,000 people on these webinars. And I'm not talking to you about technology, but look, man, we make money off technology and we are a technology company and there's good and bad in that. But I just don't believe in, you know, I believe in validating the problem, solving the problem, and letting technology find its way in. Kyle here. Yeah. Are companies using chatbots as a way to filter customers so there is not a lot of transferring? Absolutely. Yeah, you'll get a lot on your website, chatbots. I mean, it basically, think of it like, and it is powered by AI often, but it's a branching program. So you can just ask questions. Hey, what are you doing on the website? And then you click a button that says, I've got a problem. And then it kind of shoves you down one path, or I'm just browsing, that it shoves you down another way. So
great, great tool set that can be used with chatbots. Number 8, let's get into it. Don't be afraid to respond quickly. You got to take control of the conversation. I was trying to think of what are some of the excuses I hear often when people don't want to respond. And these are 3 that have come up fairly recently. Number 1 is prospects don't want to respond quickly. It's creepy. You know, they're nervous if you hit them with a phone call. They're nervous if you hit them with an email fast. So, or even a chat bot, it's scary to do that. They just want to look at your website. Number 2, prospects need a few days to digest my content. So that was a big argument in an article not too long ago. It's like, don't follow up with people immediately. They haven't even had a chance to open the content. And then number 3, prospects don't want to talk to a sales rep. Here's my answers to those 3 poor excuses. Number 1, studies show, this is an interesting one. I've been doing lead response, you guys, for almost a decade now. When it comes to lead response, we'll do qualitative and quantitative pieces of our study. When it comes to qualitative, we follow up with these people who we study. One of the words that's used the most often in conjunction with people responding quickly to leads is wow. Those guys hustle. Yeah, you're going to catch some people off guard, and yeah, you're going to have a couple bad apples. There's always one bad apple on the tree, but know that most people appreciate people who hustle. Wow, you hustle. Yeah, that's the kind of business we do at company ABC. Number 2, prospects need a few days to digest my content. This is just a myth. This is a myth, you guys. I mean, go Google the amount of time people actually spend reading content on websites or that they download. And you'll see things like this. Studies show users scroll through 50% of a page. Studies show people spend only very short amounts of time on a page, or they only look at the titles. The reason people download your content is not because they want to read a 20-page ebook or a 12-page ebook. They want to solve a problem. Solve that problem for them. Be the challenger sale. Teach, tailor, take control. You give them 3 days before you call them back, I promise you they'll forgotten that they even downloaded it. They won't even know what you're talking about. I don't care when I get on the phone with someone immediately after they've downloaded something. I don't care if they've read it. I don't care about the content. What I care about is you and solving your problem. Dang it. Last but not least, prospects don't want to talk to a salesperson. I love that one because it's true. We don't want to talk to salespeople, but that's a qualitative concept. I love this. This is an actual data. This is a data point from Zodoc. Studies show that 80% of people avoid doctors. They don't want to go to the doctor. Now, look at me and honestly tell me that someone shouldn't go to the doctor. That is an idiotic stat that 80% of people don't want to or avoid doctors, but they need to.
They need to go to the doctor. Guys, I know your prospects don't want to talk to you. I get it, but they need you. And unless you can get that in your own head, you're not going to get it in your customers' or prospects' head. So just throw it out. I was literally cold called 2 days ago. Was I happy about it on my cell phone? No, but after a 15-minute value-based conversation, I thanked them. That we got to change our mindset on that. Now,
let's see. We got a couple questions here. Chris, specific messaging on chat boxes
that pop up. So, yeah, Chris, you can go to a couple different websites. You can hit me up on LinkedIn to give you a couple examples, but know that it's basically in our conversation, it's going to go through your qualifying question. So you would, it'd say, hey, what are you doing on the website? Oh, I'm just browsing. Have you seen, and then it'd ask a question. Have you seen our latest study on lead response? And then it says, then you respond, yes or no. Cool. And then it would ask a question. Any interest in chatting with someone about how we can help you respond better to lead? Yes. And then it would say, do you have CRM? What type of CRM do you have? Salesforce or Dynamic? So it's going to kind of go through some of those qualifying questions. And then in some cases, it can even set up an appointment for your sales rep.
Let's see. John usually thinks for reaching out to faster competitors than others. Yeah. So John kind of is backing me here saying, yeah, I've heard thanks for reaching out faster. Competitors didn't even bother to respond. So it sounds like he's got that. Just don't be weird. Yeah. So Adam agrees. It is about being value-based. I appreciate the comment, Adam. So let's get these last two and then we'll get you guys out of here. Secret 9, people want you to respond. I think this will back John and Adam here. I just grabbed something else. We've got some data on this ourselves, but and you see different studies on this. I don't think this can be the end-all be-all, but know that oftentimes, qualitatively, when companies say why they chose a specific vendor, in this particular study, timeliness of the vendor's response was the number one reason. I've seen it where it's not. But it often is in the top, call it five, call it 10. So whatever the study, I think that's a great qualitative backing that I know you're scared sometimes. I'm scared. But doesn't mean you shouldn't do it because in the end, customers appreciate it. Last here is when it comes to lead response, you guys, process is king. You fix your process. You fix your response time. I'm just putting up one sample here. I've got 10 of these. It's an actual company's process. These were their real numbers, 48 hours, 20 calls, 5% contact rate, 20% conversion rate, 10% close rate. And they wanted to fix that lead response time. So we analyzed it and it didn't take too long. This was probably just over maybe a 30-day time frame. Couple of the big changes, they instituted a marketing automation tool. Most of you may already have that. Now, the thing with marketing automation tools, between marketing automation and CRM, there's often a batching that occurs. You will get into Salesforce or Dynamics as a sales rep, and you'll say, hey, the lead just came in 10 minutes ago. What you do not understand is that your marketing automation system took 60 minutes. I've seen it up to 24 hours to batch those leads into CRM, which means you see that you're getting the lead immediately. But when I do the audit, I see that you're getting it in 24 hours. That's a process problem. I've seen it a dozen times. Automated routing. This company was literally manually routing. A nice individual twice a day would pull up CRM, put it in an Excel spreadsheet, and assign it out to different reps. You got to get rid of that. There's some great automated routing tools. These guys also had a hard time figuring out where to find the lead, so they'd go into their reports tab, etc. You know, prioritize lists. We can help with that. Others can help with that. Too long of lead research. It's like there's process problems you've got to tighten down on. So I'm ending here. Bruce, thanks for joining. Bruce says he's got to go. Guys, I will be offended. Bruce, if you're still there, if you don't add me on LinkedIn, you don't grab the Playmaker podcast, I'd love to have some of you on as guests. Grab me on Twitter. Let's continue the conversation. But my offer to you is I want you to test this out on your own website. I know you can go into Salesforce and see what you think your response time is, or go into Dynamics and see what your response time is.
I want you to go to www.responseaudit.com. I'll give you a free audit. We've created real companies, real email addresses, real phone numbers. We go onto your website. We don't tell your sales reps, and then we just track it almost like a tax audit. I mean, we're like a tax auditor. We'll tell you the truth, and then you can decide where you really are, and we can go from there. So that's my offer to you. Now, we did go longer here, and I apologize for the slow start time. But if there are other questions, hit me up in the chat. I think I've answered most of them that have been coming through. So continue the conversation with me after. In fact, you can just click this link right here, this www.responseaudit.com. And I think we're good. Have a fantastic day, everybody. Take care.